Even y'all. Hi, my name is John. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm in recovery for isolation. Hey. I struggle with the best way to share my story with you. Consider mapping out my road to pornography, incidental exposure early into life, childish curiosity growing into persistent desire, access and consumption increasing as prices and barriers to access fell away, and normalization and acceptance during time my military service. And above it all else, the fact that I couldn't just quit being a key factor in how I ended up here in Regen. I consider focusing on my journey with anger and how I came to understand that my most effective tool was actually a toxic burden. At an early age, I began to realize that feeling anger was a lot more useful than being sad or powerless. I learned to tap into a deep well of hurts, harms, and resentments to focus my efforts and fuel my drive to succeed. By worldly standard, I was hitting all the milestones. I was checking all the right boxes. But contentment and peace ultimately eluded me. Eventually, I came to the understanding that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. I won't minimize the pain and destruction those sins wrought in my life and the lives of those around me, but the deeper struggle for me was and continues to this day to be an enduring and persistent desire to pull away and isolate. Christian influences have been present my entire life. I got Bible stories at bedtime. We attended church as a family. Went to vacation Bible school, suffered through Sunday school. Yeah. I don't recall a point in my life when I wasn't aware of the gospel. And after reading a particularly vivid description of hell, I prayed for salvation to avoid going there. And then when nothing happened, I did it again just to be safe. As a middle kid, a natural introvert, I tend to keep to myself and take care of myself. As a minority kid coming of age in North Dallas suburbs, complete integration never quite came to pass. Off-color jokes, casual slurs, backhanded compliments, all were so common that by the time I reached high school, nothing was surprising to me. I got along with my classmates, but was increasingly aware that in their view, I was at best an outsider and at worst, something less. Lacking the energy or inclination to continuously educate them, I kept everyone but family at arm's length. Sadly, church wasn't any better. The same curiosity and critical thought that landed me in gifted programs and the academic setting often placed me at odds with my Sunday school teachers. Even so, rejection from my peers cut deeper. In one of the few places where most people looked like me and in a place where I was learning about God's love, I got called out from everything from talking white to doing well in school to wearing Payless shoes. Not content to be a victim, I resolved to give as well as I got, and eventually I was left alone as easier targets presented themselves. All along, I was struck by how the people at church didn't seem any different than anyone else. In fact, it was worse because they should have known better. Over time, I came to know a lot about God, but I didn't know God himself. And as soon as the decision was put in my hands, I opted out. I had seen God's people, and honestly, I was not impressed. In June of 2002, I reported to the United States Coast Guard Academy. Military service academies are intense, protracted training environments that tend to amplify a candidate's personality and performance traits. Good, bad, or otherwise. It was no different for me. While I honed my natural leadership skills and problem-solving abilities, I also developed a destructive pattern of isolation and escape during downtime. In various seasons, my coping mechanisms included sleep, alcohol, exercise, video games, pornography, music, violence, community service, and anything else that can numb, distract, or kill time. In a world of mission statements, operating orders, and evaluations, affirmation and identity through performance came naturally. On the surface, I was thriving. I received my officer's commission in 2006. Promotions, assignments, citations, and accolades followed. But after 8 years of active duty, I found myself sitting on a couch alone, staring at my most recent medal. Hours earlier, that medal had brought me a sense of accomplishment. Months and years of work wrapped up in a piece of ribbon and metal. And that satisfaction had already faded. The eventual coda of now what ate at me. And I asked myself, what was the point? And when I couldn't convince myself of any of the answers, I resigned my commission within a month. As I transitioned to civilian life, restlessness and discontent devolved into general apathy. I got through work day by day with my paycheck as my sole motivator. At home, alone, I was using whatever was convenient to escape. I slept for entire weekends. I drove aimlessly through the night, binged on Netflix, got blackout drunk, cleaned obsessively, bought stuff, read a lot, ate a lot. Eventually, I settled into a steady diet of pornography. Even through these dark years, the Lord pulled at my heart. Christian hip-hop had found its way into my playlists and eventually supplanted the secular alternative. During a season when I was commuting 90 miles a day, I began streaming sermon podcasts. At some point, my brother mentioned that he was going to church again, which was weird. Later, I received an email from him, fundraising for a missionary trip. Okay, now he had my attention. The church that drew him in was Watermark, and when a job opportunity brought me back to DFW, I began attending. Irregularly, then regularly-ish, and then eventually I pursued membership. Part of that process was getting plugged into a community group. Prior to recovery, God blessed me with an amazing group of guys who demonstrated grace, persistence, and accountability during a season when I was not doing the same for them. My attendance at community group was hit or miss. I wasn't necessarily prepared or open when I showed up, and I wasn't pursuing anyone or responding to being pursued. Even so, these men shepherded me to a point where I was ready to start recovery. My biggest fear coming into region was that I'd waste a year of my life and that nothing would change. Or worse, I'd have too much garbage to address in one pass, and I would have to go through for a second or third go-around. Yeah. With that in mind, you'd think I'd have gone all in from day one, that I'd have stayed current in my book, that I'd showed up every Monday, been 100% transparent, committed step verses and extra mile verses to memory, that I'd prayed for the guys on the prayer cards and reached out. You'd be wrong. If any of all of that sounds familiar or convicting, be encouraged. It's never too late to make a God-honoring change in your life. In step one, I admitted that I had the desire to do what was right, but not the ability to carry it out. Even so, I still tried to white-knuckle victory over my sins 24 hours at a time. I employed progressively aggressive strategies that facilitated behavior modification. Having spent my life succeeding by working harder and smarter, I was still reaching for the same tools. In effect, I had layered a God-themed veneer over the same patterns and behaviors that had landed me in regen in the first place. In the meantime, I wasn't so much walking through the steps, but stumbling and crawling. And still, God was working on me. The Lord blessed me with a second set of amazing guys. Within my step group, the concepts of authenticity and pursuit came to sharp focus. Halfway through recovery, I was tired. The willpower and determination that had brought me success in every other area of my life had failed me in recovery. And I was humbled by the realization that the people that God had placed in my life, that without the people that God had placed in my path, I was not going to make it through the process. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 10 instructs us that two is better than one, because if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Verse 12 continues that though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. Going against everything in my nature, I finally let someone in. Together with my step group, we shared pains, gave real confessions, prayed for one another, bore burdens, encouraged each other, and began to experience healing. For me, this transition played out in parallel in my community group as well. And step 11, in intimacy, for the first time in my life, I began to experience true relationship with God. My heart seemed to be catching up with a lifetime of Christian head knowledge, and as my trust in God grew, my eyes were finally opened to the fact that God had long been working through the people I was keeping at a distance. In the present, defining feature of my ongoing recovery is the persistent presence of believers in my life. You may have heard recovery described as a team sport. As an introvert, I'll tell you that this still does not appeal to me. The only thing more exhausting than the thought of struggling through my sin is the thought of bringing in a bunch of people to do it with me. Yeah. True story. It took a community group, a step group, a mentor, about six steps and repeated stumbles before I got it through my head that God's plan was not for me to battle through life alone. Currently, it takes those people plus another step group, a co-leader, a coach, and an awesome leadership team to keep me pointed towards God. My recovery is a daily combination of spiritual disciplines and practical steps that establish a default position nearer to the Lord and his people. After 12 steps, I am acutely aware that left to my own devices, I will end up exactly where I started, alone and mired in sin. I still need to check in with someone most days. I still need people who will come find me when I don't. I need to be asked, what are you reading in the Word? How are you treating your coworkers? What does the Bible say about that? I need multiple accountability partners reviewing my internet activity and asking me about the heart behind my internet searches. I need to get out of my comfort zone and serve. And on Mondays, that means getting out of my car and walking in from the parking lot. I need to be encouraged and reminded and sometimes compelled to let go of things that may be permissible but lead me away from God. And for me, that list includes things like TV, Netflix, and most forms of social media. If you're like me, pre-region, that all sounds awful. And you're asking yourself, why would I want that? I choose recovery every day because I remember my life apart from Christ. Proverbs 14:12, Proverbs 16:25 tells us, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. There were moments that my sin seemed fun, but more often than not, they robbed me of joy. If you take one thing away from this testimony, I pray that it would be this. You don't have to do it alone. And if you're like me, you need to know that you can't do this alone. Trust God sooner than later and find a community that will walk with you as you walk towards Him. My name is John. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from isolation. And to God be all the glory.